Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, commencing at verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. It came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Did you note in the reading that the first man was a volunteer? Did you note in the reading that the second man was a conscript? Did you notice in the reading that the third man was a volunteer? It's one of those scenes at the roadside. Men are moved by listening to Christ. The first man jumps forward and he says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Would you take that commitment? The second man, Christ says, Follow me. The man's no option. There's no way out. We don't like this, but it happened. It happened with Matthew. Follow me. The sovereign Lord exercises his sovereignty and demands that a man take the road. We don't like that sort of thing. The third man, he comes forward with his claim. Now let's look at them, shall we? Write down immediately now, please, to verse 57. Now listen to this man. Lord, I will... Now listen to this man. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Contrary to the expositors, please, I accept it as bona fide. This man's in the middle of the road. Oblivious to everyone else, he says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord said, Now listen now, now remember this, that the foxes have their homes and the birds of the air have theirs, but I have none. Remember, if you're going to follow me, you're following a man that's rejected by the world, a man that's a stranger, a man that's not accepted here. Now just a minute, please. You'll need to allow me a little time here for textual exposition. Drop your eye again to the close of 57. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Got it? Now listen. Lord, the assertion of lordship. Lord, I, the assertion of submission. Lord, I will, the assertion of determination. Lord, I will follow, the assertion of dedication, consecration. Lord, I will follow thee, the assertion of sovereignty. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever, the assertion of location. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, the assertion of leadership. I want to talk to you about these things. Lord, we're suffering from deficient gospel preaching. This idea that you come to him as Jesus now and later on acknowledge him as Lord is not apostolic preaching. Apostolic preaching is a presentation of Christ as Lord, and that involves saviorhood. You read the early chapters of the Acts. Remember Romans 10 and 9, you've known since you were a little boy or girl, that some of us hardly ever, never knew till we were saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That is, in dealing with anyone, you give them to understand if you accept this message, if you believe in this Saviour, then you'll need to abdicate the throne of your life, and Christ will need to ascend. He's not Lord at all if he's not Lord of all. Is that right? Jesus Christ is Lord. Many years ago in our country, you could sail down the River Clyde. On the steamer, you would walk around it. And suddenly you would come to a door, and it was locked. Or you would come to a chain across, and it was padlocked. You weren't allowed there. But suddenly a man appeared in gold braid. And he took out a key, and he opened the door. Or another key, and he would open the padlock. Please tell me. What's the difference between the man with gold braid and yours truly? Well, very simple. He's the captain on the boat. He can go where he likes. I'm only a passenger. Now tell me, please, in God's name, is Christ in your life as a captain or a passenger? Are there places that he can't go? He's not allowed. You didn't let him in. Or is he Lord of all? Unrivaled and supreme. Acknowledged and owned. Lord, Lord, the assertion of lordship. Ah, this gospel, come to Jesus and he'll solve all your problems, not in the New Testament. We'll probably have a lot more problems. Lord, I. Here's the assertion of submission. It's the Lord and I. As if there were no one else. Absorbed, taken up with Christ, forgetting everybody else on the road. He bows and says, Lord, I. The assertion of submission. This is not the assertion of pride. You remember the big Pharisee that you condemned? You remember? 5 times he used the personal pronoun I. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast 2 times in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Where did he learn that? This personal pronoun I. I'll tell you. He learned it from his father. You say, how do you make that out? He learned it from his father, the devil. He used it once. In the greatest attempt to take over bid the universe has ever known, Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, this awful I. This man submitted. And he'll trace it out for us. Lord, I will follow. Have you reached that? No matter the cost price, you'll accept this assertion of consecration, of dedication? Have you made up your mind that now that you've converted,
that the man who died on Calvary for you and rose again and lives to sustain you, you'll give your life to him completely, without reserve, without question. You'll bow and you'll say, Lord, I will. I will. Mind you, you'll be tested on it.
It's not the first engagement has been broken when the young man or young woman decided that they were going to follow Christ completely. Watch now.
He says, Lord, I will follow. The assertion of dedication, the assertion of consecration. I will follow.
But just a minute. Supposing he follows Christ, where's he going? Listen to me now. He's going to Gethsemane. He's going to Gabbatha. He's going to Golgotha, to Calvary.
If you follow this man, you'll need to follow him into the garden.
Would you know anything about Gethsemane? I know these disciples slept. Would you follow today? Come on now. And you'll remember, oh yes, he left the disciples at the gate and went on alone. Could you allow me? Would you follow without going to sleep? Would you kneel down beside them? Would you prostrate yourself? Maybe you don't do this sort of thing. I don't know. Lying in the presence of God, don't you believe the brethren that tell you that the conflict was between the devil and Christ? Not at all. He was going through in spirit what he would touch at Calvary. And as you go down beside the Christ, you notice the blood like sweat. Concentrated. You'll never know what he knew. But maybe in the mercy of God you'll reach the same end. You'll come to an end of yourself. And you'll say, not my will, but thine. It's the hardest thing I know. The hardest thing I know. To lie in the presence of God. Lying down, prostrate. Say, O God, thy will be done and thine alone. You're fit now to go to the judgment hall. You're following. They're giving their verdict. They're all against Christ. I told you the other night, they've never reversed it. They don't want him. He's going out. And if you're going to follow, you'll need to go the extra mile. You'll need to walk to Calvary. You'll need to look at that man dying. You'll need to face up to the cross and decide that you too will die for others. You'll pour out your life. You'll sacrifice it completely, that others might be blessed. And you're going down, you'll lift them up. Isn't that Calvary? Oh, the times I've said that, these meetings, the way to go up is to go down, and the way to win is to lose. The way to victory is through seeming defeat. Didn't I tell you about the folks that came from America to Kilmarnock? With their drama and their band. I read it in the paper. They had come to show the young Christians of Kilmarnock and the young folks of Kilmarnock about how there was fun in Christianity. They brought a couple along with them. They advertised as Christian comedians. We're going to tell them all, listen now, look at it. Not much fun at Calvary. Come on now. There's maybe a lot of joy in Christianity. There's nothing about fun. And as you look at it, that kind of things of the devil, it's destructive.